I am Lucy, the English voice for the Happy Men and Women Share More podcast, an intercompany approach that accompanies progress towards greater gender diversity over the long term. Who really inspires us? Role models and companies that promote gender equality. Happy Men and Women Share More podcast, March 2024. Imitation plays a fundamental role in the formation of the human person. It is one of the earliest modes of learning. From the very first days and throughout their development, children acquire a certain number of motor and cognitive abilities, and then relational abilities, through the experience of intersubjectivity. Through imitation, the individual gradually forges his or her identity. He or she assimilates an aspect, a property, or an attribute of the other, and transforms himself or herself wholly or partially on the model of the other. The personality is formed and differentiated by a series of identifications. This process takes place in a specific social and cultural context. It is in itself a process of cultural transmission. Like any human society, companies also produce their own dynamics of imitation and identification. These are deep-rooted cultural processes which, often unconsciously, standardize types of behavior and practices, as well as models of success and discriminatory processes. Because they have a decisive impact on motivating men and women to project themselves in a certain professional direction, Happy Men and Women Share More is now looking at companies' role models, i.e., its models of success and the way in which they are embodied. First, we will look at how traditional role models are being disowned by a growing number of employees, particularly women. We will then discuss the need to diversify success models in order to inspire more people. Finally, we will put forward ideas for concrete action to showcase diversified modes of success within companies. What is a role model? The term role model comes from the American sociologist Robert King Merton, who hypothesizes that individuals compare themselves with reference groups, which exercise a social position to which the individuals aspire. In the light of Pierre Bourdieu's work on social capital, this notion of social position broadly incorporates economic capital, monetary possessions enabling the purchase of goods and services, cultural capital, books, works of art, diplomas, skills and consuming symbolic goods, but also and above all, social capital, relationships, networks and social ties. Taken together, these assets determine an individual's social position and increase their chances of becoming a role model. The accumulation of economic, social, and cultural capital has long served as a marker of professional success. It has helped to establish competitive corporate cultures. It has favoured male success in a logic of emergence that could perhaps be illuminated by a psychoevolutionary approach. In this context, the way in which positions of power were embodied was of little importance. A person who succeeded in a company was necessarily a role model. Indeed, the normal route to success was to climb the ladder and become a leader instead of a leader. We could call them first-generation role models. Over the last 30 years or so, with the demands of gender equality, the importance of female role models has emerged. Role models embodied by women to show women specifically that it is possible for them to take on responsibilities, that these are not reserved for men. These second-generation role models, who have undoubtedly contributed to the emergence of female talent, have nevertheless seemed to be modelled on male professional codes and reference standards in companies. Perhaps they explain the sometimes demonised image of women who go on to great careers. Who wants to be Miranda Priestly in The Devil Wears Prada? More seriously, they also shed light on the opting out phenomenon. This phenomenon was first studied in the United States and described the choice of women who, having been promised brilliant careers, resigned to devote themselves to their families. In France, the phenomenon is more apt to describe refusing to move up in the hierarchy or resigning from large companies to set up on their own. A recent study by BVA for the Observatoire de la Mixité, carried out in April 2022 among 1,000 women and 1,000 men, estimates that 32% of women and 30% of men have already turned down a promotion, and that 48% of women and 41% of men have not applied for promotion opportunities matching their profile. The desire to become a manager is not innate. Our individual perception of management or leadership is directly linked to the image projected by current leaders, which in turn is linked to the way in which leaders embody their role. Clearly, the fact that more and more young people and women do not see themselves in the model of success they are being offered is a challenge to that model. Happy Men and Women Share More looks at three key areas in particular. The conformism of the model. In other words, the difficulty of emerging outside this norm of capital accumulation. The cost of the model. In other words, the difficulty of emerging without sacrificing large parts of one's personal life. The relationship with others in the model. In other words, the difficulty of emerging without escaping from competitive logics and power relations. Embodying new ways of working. At Happy Men and Women Share More, we believe that tomorrow's role models will be linked to new ways of working. Companies today need men and women who can decode conformism, rivalry, and above all, the excessive demands of being available to the company, who embody different ways of working, who lead the way, who commit to their freedom, who leap over obstacles, who inspire desire and allow people to project themselves. These men and women exist, but they don't necessarily know that they are role models. They don't necessarily know that their day-to-day way of working could be imitated if it were highlighted. At the Happy Men and Women Share More web conference on March 5th, Let's Lead the Way, Come and Meet Role Models to Get Inspired, we gave the floor to Florence, Stephanie and Benoit, who spoke respectively about the day-to-day challenges of a developer, product owner UX at Orange, the success story of a manager at a Crédit Agricole bank, reconciling high levels of professional responsibility with the challenges of a busy private life, technical and scientific careers, women's access to positions of responsibility, the glass floor for men. These three themes were chosen deliberately because they specifically need new incarnations. Today's role models are no longer yesterday's success stories. They are people who love their work and are successful in all professions and all hierarchical levels. They are aware of the impact of their behaviour on the motivation of their teams, and they are willing to testify and engage in dialogue. I will give three criteria for choosing role models. Accessible role models. For us to identify with them, it's paradoxical. The person has to have a record of success, have achieved significant things, and at the same time look a bit like us, so that we can easily identify with them and say to ourselves, if it's possible for this person, it's also possible for me. In the end, the role model has to be human, incarnate, have faults, encounter difficulties. Otherwise, it's harder to identify with them. Multiple role models. To project ourselves, to identify with role models, we need a diversity of figures, a mix of everyday role models and extraordinary role models. So we need diversity within the role models themselves, superwomen, managers involved in their family life, discreet people who do great things, people who ask questions, self-confident people. Free role models. This is perhaps the key quality of our role models for tomorrow. People who have managed to free themselves from the restrictive codes and norms of companies to invent their own way of working, who set limits, who refuse to sacrifice their personal life for their career and their career for their personal life, who dare to change a rule that seemed immutable, who take on a job by adapting it to their needs, who listen to their team and innovate on the organizational level. Here are a few practical tips on how to implement appropriate and diverse ways of achieving success within companies. One of the first tips is to showcase the many different ways in which success can be achieved. By setting up meetings and gathering testimonials, focusing on people's day-to-day experiences. A second tip is to make managers aware of the impact of their behavior and their words. Do they look happy? Do they inspire desire? Are they accessible, open to dialogue? How do they manage their private lives? Are they available? A third tip is not to hinder the career development of those who are successful but work differently. Beware of decision-making biases in internal promotion processes, and in particular, beware of decorrelating performance and availability. A fourth tip is to give employees the leeway to adapt their way of working to their own needs and constraints. It often happens that a person, often a woman, turns down a job for fear of not being available enough. There is sometimes a gap between the required availability and the reality of what is really needed, which is non-negotiable. A gap that can be worked out and discussed. A fifth key is, of course, a culture of respect for employees' personal lives, as the question of balance between the two spheres of life is becoming a determining factor for fulfilling professional lives and motivated career advancement. To conclude, corporate role models have long authorized and even promoted a sacrificial mode of success based on availability and little access to one's private life. Because today's employees are, for the most part, members of biactive couples, their professional success can no longer ignore their necessary involvement in their family and private spheres. It's the whole work culture that needs to evolve to see employees as people who have a life outside work, and that this life should not prevent them from succeeding, on the contrary. In this context, all those who already seek to succeed without sacrificing their personal lives become role models, whatever their hierarchical position. Because they show methods, habits, and reflexes that can help other people who aspire to this form of success. And above all, because they encourage their colleagues, their teams, and why not their bosses, to seek out this form of professional fulfillment. Happy Men and Women Share More supports this gentle revolution by giving people at all levels of companies the desire and the power to take action. Discover our resources and methods on our website, happymenandwomensharemore.com.